Welcome to BurningTruck.com. This is recording BT-113, first of two interviews with Bob Tisberg of Ancient Wood Limited. He's the U.S. distributor for the world's oldest wood, ancient kauri. You can find more information at www.ancientwood.com or www.theworldsoldestwood.com, or you can reach Bob directly at his toll-free number, 1-888-201-7544. I'll give this information again at the end of the show. Why would a guy want to use ancient kauri over any other kind of wood?
It's the most unique wood in the world. To be able to hold a piece of wood that's 50,000 years old in your hand is an amazing experience, and you will feel it. It's a different experience. Over and again, we see the reaction of people that are close to it. They're very conscious of the age of it, of the incredible natural phenomena that they're standing next to. The wood that's available in the world today is, at the oldest, is a couple hundred years old, and then there's nothing until you get to the ancient kauri. That's 40 and 50,000 years old. It's an amazing story, and it's an amazing wood, and the qualities of the wood itself make it quite workable, so virtually any project that comes to mind is buildable. And it's a fantastic opportunity for the end user, and it's also a fantastic opportunity for the woodworker. This is a chance in a lifetime. You will not have this opportunity forever. Future generations will not have the opportunity to work with this wood. We're lucky. We're fortunate. We've got it available to us now, and we won't again.
What are your customers saying about ancient kauri?
Some of the comments from our customers, they're flabbergasted over and again, and it's a very common reaction. They say, oh my, I had no idea that that was lurking in there, and it is awesome. Almost every single one of them have that same reaction.
Well, that happened to me. I was turning a small handle for a carving knife on a lathe, and I'd shaped it and formed it, got it to the size I want, and it looked like a piece of cardboard. And, oh, crud, I got a dud piece, and I hit it with some shellac, and holy cripes, it just exploded. It flashes as it would. As I would turn it slowly by hand in the lathe, the wood would flash, go whap, 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 and it's just beautiful. But looking at it without a high-gloss finish on it, it would, yeah, wouldn't look twice at it.
Yeah, and it's difficult for us. I mean, we can't finish every piece, so the customer needs to have that sort of leap of faith.
What would a professional woodworker ask you about the wood when he orders?
Is it stable? Does it dull knives or blades? And how do I finish it?
How do you answer those?
Inherently, every piece of wood has its own stability issues, no matter what the species. Having said that, we have kiln-dried 95% of our stock, and it is as stable as possible. Our assurances are, yes, it is quite stable. The question on whether it would dull knives or blades on the equipment, the answer is no. It does not dull knives at all. There's nothing abrasive about the wood. It does work quite easily. And on the question of how to finish it, we provide sanding and finishing suggestions that really come from our experiences. And the guys who helped us get started down in New Zealand had their suggestions for us, and we pass those along with every order. And if there are other questions as the project's going on, we're more than happy to answer, no problem.
Just what is ancient kauri?
Ancient kauri is wood that's recovered from underground in New Zealand, where it's been buried for 50,000 years. And the species is kauri, and this wood is referred to as ancient kauri because of its age.
How can you say that ancient kauri is really 50,000 years old?
Our containers arrive from New Zealand, and we do a random sample out of each container. Our last random sample went down to a lab in Miami, Florida, and results of that carbon dating was greater than 46,726 years old. That's why we're going with the 50,000 figure.
Tell me about this being a green wood.
Your question about greenwood, you've brought up the two connotations I was going to mention. One is green, meaning fresh cut wood, and the other is green with the environmental aspect. Dealing with the environmental aspect, what brings ancient kauri to being ecologically sound is it's one of the most rare and exotic woods in the world. that's brought to the market without cutting one tree down, without cutting any forest down, to supply one of the most incredible resources in the world to market. It doesn't get much greener than that. Ancient kauri is listed as a good wood by Greenpeace New Zealand. There is no other wood listed by Greenpeace New Zealand as a good wood. The process is entirely environmentally friendly. The sites where the wood has been removed from the ground are re-manicured to their original landscape. Within a year, plants are back on it, and life's back to normal again.
Would you call this wood prehistoric?
Do I? Yes. Oh, yeah.
Where was man 50,000 years ago? Were Homo sapiens walking around?
Homo sapiens were walking upright. There were no Homo sapiens in the North American continent at that time.
Yeah. Were there dinosaurs walking around there?
No, no dinosaurs. Saber-toothed tigers, woolly mammoths, the Ubrea tar pits in California were just gathering its victims in the time that these trees were buried. The saber-toothed tigers that were found there were 40 and 50,000 years old on it.
Well, what was happening on the planet 50,000 years ago?
Specific information in that era is very difficult to find and sort of hang your hat on. To me, Lake Superior was always the age of the world, the Earth, the planet. After I started working with this wood and trying to get a handle on the timeline, I tried to find things to compare to what 50,000 years really was. I came to realize that 8,000 years ago, Lake Superior didn't even exist. It was under a glacier. As you look at the lake, it's kind of astonishing to think that these logs were underground for 42,000 years before that. When people say what was happening 50,000 years ago, certainly to explain Lake Superior and all the Great Lakes, apparently it was covered by a glacier that was approximately 1 mile thick. That was pretty fascinating to sort of bring the 50,000-year-old picture a little bit closer to something I could comprehend.
I had no idea. A mile deep.
A mile deep. The glacier was a mile deep.
How long was that glacier here for?
I can't remember the time frame.
That's like the second or third one that came drifting down.
Yes, it was the last one.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I remember. If I'm buying some board feet of ancient kauri, you'll send a certificate of authenticity with them. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Tell me about that certificate. What's it mean?
Ancient wood will verify its age through the testing that we've conducted. We take a random sample out of each load of wood that arrives in the States, send it to a lab to verify through radiocarbon dating the age of the wood, and the certificate states that. Each certificate is signed, and each certificate is embossed. It's on heavy cardstock, and it certainly could be a presentable certificate with the finished piece.
What if I were a pen maker or pen turner? Could I get a certificate then if I bought a bundle?
We sell them in sets of 10. It's $55 for a set of 10, and each pen blank comes with an individual certificate that is signed and embossed and states on the certificate that it is for a pen.
That'll make a nice presentation piece.
Oh, yeah, it's lovely.
Where is ancient kauri usually used? Who uses this?
Ancient kauri is used most often where it is going to be seen. It's not something that is used for structural purposes or pieces that are going to be locked up in a closet. The reason to have the wood is to have it out and enjoyed by whoever's got it. It's used as furniture pieces, it's used as accent pieces, architectural pieces, mantels, furniture, musical instruments.
Well, ancient kauri must be pretty expensive, isn't it?
Well, not really, though. We're not out of hand in our pricing. We're not talking about a gold standard for this. It's more expensive than cherry, and it's more expensive than mahogany. But it's not more expensive than teak. It's not more expensive than a lot of the reclaimed woods that are available, particularly in the exotics. There's plenty of other species that are much more expensive than ancient kauri is, many more. So is it expensive? Yeah, sure. But is it out of hand? No, absolutely not. You don't have to be a millionaire to make a project with ancient kauri. You just have to want to do it. it becomes affordable quite easy.
How much is ancient kauri? What's it comparable to in wood?
The short answer is it's $25 a board foot and up. The longer answer is when you increase in grain activity and or thickness of the wood, the price goes up. Having said that, the 3-inch thick and up is $35 a board foot.
What would the cost of ancient kauri be if you compared it to regular wood?
It's $25 a board foot for flat sawn ancient kauri, and flat, the definition of flat sawn just means it's normal, a normal straightforward cut. Grain is very pretty in it. Grain activity becomes more expensive by the board foot depending on specific action in the grain or specific cuts of the wood. For instance, quarter sawn, which is a vertical grain board, it's not very common to see. It's expensive to cut in material, and quarter sawn pieces are $50 a board foot. Quarter sawn flamed with a very characteristic flame in the grain is $60 a board foot. That's all by 1-inch thick. A very active piece that's 1-inch thick would be $35 a board foot.
Tell me about this pile of boards I'm looking at right here.
This is 1x12s, the majority of them. There's also a pile of 1x8s here. Most of these are 7 feet long. Some others are 11. What we're looking at is quarter sawn and quarter sawn flamed boards, also very active grain, and some white bait boards. Could make wonderful guitars and really almost anything.
What's special about this board?
That's the one you just pointed to is a quarter sawn board, also referred to as vertical grain. That means when you look at the end grain and it's 12 inches wide, it's 1 inch tall, and you're looking right at the end grain of the wood, the grain is straight up and down. There's a lot of structural strength to it, sought after, really is a guitar making wood. The guitar makers love a quarter sawn board. Various instrument makers do. It provides a nice contrast on a piece of furniture to go next to a flat sawn piece. It's just a different look to the grain.
If somebody sent you a drawing of a chair or a table, would you be able to make it for them?
Yes. Yeah, we can do that. Be happy to, actually. We do commissions like that all the time. Some are quite crude sketches. Some are quite sophisticated drawings. And, yeah, we'll make whatever anybody wants.
What do you call these huge pieces of ancient kauri?
You're pointing to the big freeform slabs. These we call them freeform because the edges around are quite natural edges. These are slabs taken out of enormous stumps of ancient kauri. The outside edge all the way around is the natural edge just underneath the bark. You can see the grain activity in these pieces is out of this world. We were talking about the iridescence and the shimmer and the curls, and these pieces are full of it. We've got a stack of about 8 of them out of the same family. This thing polished up is going to be just shimmering like an awesome piece of bling, dude. These freeform slabs would be great to cut up for a guitar maker, particularly electric guitar bodies. This would be perfect for them all the way through this whole area. These curls down here, these swirls in here, and the way this sweeps through. This is prime guitar building wood.
I've heard you mention tone wood. Can you tell me what that's all about?
My experience with tone wood has been from my customers coming here looking at my wood. Tone wood is wood that'll work well for sound resonance. And if you're a guitar builder, a luthier, or you're a flute maker, a drum maker, any sort of a musical instrument, you would like a good tone wood. You can hear this wood ring some pieces. You hold it up and tap it with your fingernail, and you can hear it ring. Some pieces you can't. Some pieces seem quite dead. The ancient kauri is regarded as a good tone wood generally, although you do have to be careful of the piece you choose. It's becoming quite popular in the guitar making world right now. We have a lot of our customers in the past 6 months of our guitar builders from all around the world. So it's becoming very well known, very highly regarded. Heard an interesting story just day before yesterday. I have a distributor in Illinois, and the distributor sold some wood to a violin maker down in Illinois who built a violin out of the wood, brought it to a gathering of bluegrass musicians, and the musician brought the violin into a room full of, it was a workshop for bluegrass music, and he brought the ancient kauri violin in, opened up the case, and started playing it, and the whole room went quiet while this person was playing. It was actually a classical number on his ancient Kauri violin, and it generated a great deal of interest at that conference in what kind of a violin that was, what kind of wood it was made from. I've been very anxious to work with violin makers in the past, and I'm anxious to find out more about the results that this guy has with his violin. I understand that it's for sale at the moment for $30,000.
Is this pretty much the last big slabs of wood a guy can get his hands on?
It's close. There are the occasional big slabs that come into the country. You can occasionally get a big slab, but they're usually one-offs, not a steady supply of them.
I see you've got some wainscoting machined up here. Can you tell me about that?
The wainscoting we've got it's about 3/8 of an inch thick. It's beaded on the side. It is a tongue and groove. The idea is to have a plywood backer on the wall, and then you apply the wainscot to the plywood backer. It's very beautiful. It, again, has that iridescent glow. It's just gorgeous. 3 1/4 inches wide.
What would be the turnaround time if I ordered a room full of wainscoting?
Turnaround time for all of our milled products is approximately 2 weeks.
So I assume you make the baseboard and chair rail as well, so you sell it almost as a kit.
Baseboard has a groove to receive the tongue from the unmatched wainscot. It all fits together as a kit, and the chair rail does as well. So it really snaps together quite quickly. It's a very efficient way to put up wainscoting.
Is it glued or screwed?
Glue it and nail it is the preferred method to attach it.
Suppose you could sell it by the running foot.
Well, that's how we do sell it.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
By the lineal foot of wall cover.
You've mentioned white bait. I imagine there are not too many people who know what that is.
There's probably a handful of people in the States that do know what whitebait is. Whitebait's an interesting confluence of grain in the ancient Kauri that I have not been able to find in any other species of wood. I've been asking people that come here to our shop to look at the ancient Kauri that are quite familiar with exotic species from around the world to look at the whitebait and see if they can compare it to another species of wood. And while there's been a couple of offhanded comparisons, there is no other species that has this interesting characteristic. What it is as the grain comes together and it's kind of in a random streaking pattern, it gets very iridescent. And the name whitebait came about from the guys in New Zealand that had been working with this wood and recognized that this grain was coming out on rare occasions, but it was there. And it reminded them of schools of fish swimming in the ocean. The fish was called whitebait, and they're small sort of minnows, and they're silver 1 second, and they turn a corner and they disappear, and then they're silver again. So they flash silver in the ocean, and this amount of iridescent character in the wood reminded them of that whitebait work because it really is an intense iridescent character. Sometimes, on occasion, I'll compare it to something like quilted maple, where quilted maple has a very strong iridescent character in a very predictable pattern. Whitebait has a very strong iridescent characteristic with no pattern involved.
So it seems to flash and disappear as you move your head across the board.
As you move your head or the wood moves past you, I mean, depending on your line of vision, it gets a flash of iridescence that's very unusual and very beautiful.
I see you've got some beautiful sheets of plywood. Can you tell me the story of your veneers and plywood?
Came off the knives beautiful, laid perfectly flat, and the end result is we do have a very reliable, very beautiful flat veneer that is sliced out of the active grain of the Kauri, and it creates a wonderful iridescent pattern in the veneers. It's an awesome piece. We've finished up these 2 samples that we're looking at with a clear polyurethane, and it's just a wonderful piece to walk past. And we were discussing the shimmer, and these are quite lovely as you go past them.
How thick can you make the plywood, and what kind of substrates do you use?
This is on a piece of 1/4-inch MDF core, which is a medium-density fiber board. It's a fine-grain particle board. This was used because it's so flat. Flatness is very predictable. It's got a Luon backer on it so that the stress that's put on by a veneer being on one side of the MDF is matched by the veneer that's put on the back side, so it keeps it from warping. It can be put on a veneer core, but the veneer core thickness is somewhat unpredictable because it's grains of wood, and grains of wood do change in temperature and humidity. So while we'll do a veneer core if someone asks us to, if we're left to our own devices, we use an MDF core for predictability.
The sheet of plywood that we're looking at shimmers as you walk past it, and the patterns are not book matched. What do you call this?
This particular piece is called slip matched. It has everything to do with how the customer requests the plywood to be laid out. This particular piece was done as a sample for us. I wanted the repetitious pattern in a slip match piece, so the grain isn't matching as it would be in a book match piece. We certainly could have done book matched with these leaves. The leaves in the rough are 9 inches wide. Once they're trimmed down, they're 8.5 inches wide or so. That would look wonderful as a book matched as well, this particular one slip. And we're happy to accommodate the customer's request. And one other thing worth mentioning is for the boat building world, they'd like a hollow core, or for the corporate aircraft interiors, they're looking for a different kind of substrate altogether, which would be a hollow core for lightweight, whether it's balsa or a synthetic core, whether it's foam or another corrugated materials.
So you essentially make custom plywood?
Custom plywood, yep. We work with a plywood manufacturer here in northern Wisconsin.
Who would order plywood like this?
A furniture maker, for sure. If you were paneling a room, you might want to use plywood as the panel with a solid cowrie frame around it. Another typical spot for veneers is as door skins. Certainly you could use veneer in the building of furniture as the top veneer, whether it was a particle board piece of furniture or not. Would apply well to circular columns, and really anywhere a decorative veneer is wanted, certainly this stuff will fit the bill. Couple other thoughts on the veneer is these are leaves. They're 9 inches wide and they're about 10 feet long, so we're certainly able to cut leaves shorter. The veneers that we're working with at the moment are all sliced on a cutter as opposed to rotated and spun like a lathe.
What's the turnaround time for plywood?
I would say 2 to 3 weeks.
Would you finish it for them?
Sure. Yep. We aren't a commercial finishing shop, but we'd certainly, if we weren't going to do it in-house, we'd make arrangements to finish it. Yes, most definitely.
When you're slicing veneer, do you make it out of straight grain or active grain or wild grain? How do you figure what you're going to cut?
We're slicing our veneers out of pieces that we refer to as active grain, and active grain is not perfectly straight. A lot of the movement in the grain brings an iridescent quality out rather than striking color change. It's more subtle, more eye-catching in a lot of ways than a striking color change in the active grain.
I see some big pieces of stumps on the racks here. Can you tell me about those? They look pretty wild.
They're much more difficult to sell than we thought. Really, it's because people can't lay their eyes on them in person. They don't photograph well. They're incredible pieces of wood. With the twists and turns in the grain are just phenomenal. When they're cleaned up with wire brush, they actually don't take as long as one might think. And all the dirt's removed, and the rough edges are chiseled off and smoothed out. They're phenomenal. They're gorgeous. And the textures and the grain action, the iridescent qualities when you buff out the cut surfaces are just fantastic. But to see them on the rough, it's the ugly duckling. It's a diamond in a rough, is for sure. We have used them in a number of different ways, primarily as table bases. And most often, the stumps are put underneath a piece of glass. Quite often, they're used all by themselves. We polish up the top surface, and the stump is the table with no top put on it. And also as table bases for instance, the larger stumps could be a dining room table base. There are people who have purchased them to cut them into smaller pieces and use them for turning blocks. And some of these, we're looking at this one here, John, that's got this very interesting burl on the side of it right here. It's one of the few actual burls that we've ever seen in cowrie, but it's fantastic. The texture on the outside, it looks like skin, and it's that texture right underneath the bark. That one is 5 feet across and 2.5 feet wide with all those short little pieces on the end. I mean, that is That is a phenomenal chunk of wood. When that was polished up, that is going to be out of this world. You know, we talked a bit about kauri gum. You can see quite clearly on a couple of these pieces, the kauri gum that's still stuck to the surface there.
What does it take to clean one of these up?
Well, it really is perseverance. I think about the lads who've been doing it for me, and they look at me with very sad eyes when I say, well, we're going to clean that one up today. But the truth is, 4 or 6 hours later, they come out covered in dust and with a huge smile on their face and say, look at that. And the rewards are excellent.
What kind of tools would a guy need to clean one of these up?
A handful of chisels, a small arsenal of wire brushes, and electric drills is what seems to do the job. Got small right angle drills. We've got regular drills with wire brushes in them. A little Dremel type tool, pneumatic rotary thing, and then handheld wire brush like a little toothbrush. And you pick the bark off where it wants to fall off. You leave it on where it wants to stay. You leave the kauri gum on where it wants to stay. You take all the shreds off, and everywhere where there's a nasty edge, start with a nice sharp wood chisel and tap your way through it and round it off and make it look interesting and smooth to the touch. And then all the flat surfaces where roots have been cut off or it's been cut off from the rest of the tree, you polish up with the grinder progressively through the grits of sandpaper until ultimately you've polished the top with a 1200 grit. And then you apply that first coat of oil and the whole piece just comes alive. It's wonderful.
Would you put varnish over that oil then?
I personally wouldn't, just because when you're looking at these pieces, it's delightful to feel the textures in them, not just visually, but also with your hands. And this would be an exception to my varnish rule, not so much a rule, but a choice of using varnishes. There is a layer of something between your fingers and the wood when you put on a layer of varnish. And the trade-off for that is the durability for me, and that's why I was using it. But with these stump pieces, to get such an irregular surface, to have a decent coat of varnish on it that looks good, that doesn't inhibit your being able to feel the texture with your fingers, is very difficult to do. So we have not been able to varnish one of these stumps successfully to our liking yet. So no, we don't varnish them.
How much do stumps cost?
Well, it's $25 a board foot. They're big chunks of wood, so they're quite expensive. So with small ones, would be $500 and $600, and the big ones would be up to $3,000 for the giant ones. So
how much would you charge to clean one of these up? I imagine there are different stages of roughness that people would want these delivered in.
It depends on what the customer's after. Yeah, so we've got different, we'll go to different lengths. It's not a terribly time-consuming process once you're willing to commit to get covered in dust and dirt. It doesn't take a whole long time. So one day's shop time, 8 hours at $40 an hour, $320 would do just about any one of these.
Tell me about the flooring, Bob. What do you have to say about agent covered flooring?
We've got two kinds of flooring available. One is solid flooring, 3/4 inch thick, solid kauri board, and it's a tongue and groove with an eased small micro edge, so there is no sanding when the floor is put together.
Why did you have flooring made in the first place?
Why do we have flooring made? There seemed to be a call for it. It makes an absolutely incredible floor, and the inner glow that I've been talking about for a while, when it's put together in a field like a floor, is just outrageous how beautiful it is. The glow it brings to the room is really incomparable. The flooring that's available now is 3/4 inch solid wood, end matched tongue and groove flooring. It's available pre-finished or unfinished. We also have just got done with a run of engineered flooring with the ancient kauri. That has a plywood backer on a 3/8 inch ancient kauri top. It's also end matched tongue and groove, so it'll go through multiple sandings throughout its life. I believe they suggest that it's good for 5 sandings minimum. That is available both pre-finished and unfinished.
Thank you for listening. This is John Tiesberg for BurningTruck.com. Please listen to our next show at Burning Truck, and we'll continue our interview with Bob Tiesberg, and he'll talk about gluing and finishing ancient kauri and a lot of other little Tips and Tidbits. That will be show BT114. You can get more information on Ancient Cowrie at www.ancientwood.com or www.theworldsoldestwood.com, or you can call Bob directly at his toll-free number. That is 1-888-201-7544. Thanks again for listening.